Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of The Doghouse. This week, we're going to talk about, maybe something that a famous liberal once said and turns into being kind of reality this week. We're going to talk about
your racing. Health insurance will not go up. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor.
What is with you and pounding the table?
I like it.
I know. He can't help himself. We're going to talk about motocross at Spring Creek in Millville.
Yes. You look funny when I do that.
Yeah, you're right. It's like an earthquake, Phil. Okay. We're also going to talk about World Superbike at Laguna Seca.
And Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. Wow. So we got that and a whole lot more coming up this week on The Doghouse. So stick around, folks. We're about to kick things off. Okay, folks, welcome back to The Doghouse. Like we said, we got a lot to talk about this week, but before we do that, I wanted to talk about what was going on this weekend. Warren, I understand that you went to a motorcycle and car show?
Yes, I did. It was sponsored by the Tradesman Motorcycle Club, which is a bunch of, the pipe fitters and the electricians and guys like that who formed their own club. It was up in middle of Maryland, out in the middle of nowhere, and did pretty well. I got first place in custom bikes. And third place in dressers. And for you,
what kind of dress were you wearing?
Summer dress.
Summer dress. Oh, well, it is hot out.
Yeah.
It was. It was in the 90s. But for those of you who've seen my blog or anyone who's seen the bikes that we ride, I don't ride a dresser for the show. It's a cruiser, with saddlebags.
Right.
It's nothing even close to a dresser. No fairing, no windshield.
No, it's definitely not.
But I got third place in dresser category.
That's pretty good. What does that have to say about the rest of the dressers that were in the show?
They didn't do as well as I
did.
No,
apparently not.
That also means a lot of people voted that don't know what bikes are.
No, all the voting was about people who showed up just to look at the cars and bikes. And they just marked my number down and went on.
I saw a chopper win best dresser one time for that. It's like,
that's even worse than mine.
I know. It was like, apparently the people here just don't know what a different style bike is.
And Phil, you cleared land this week.
No, right? I did not.
You did not?
I watched my neighbor clear land.
That's even better.
That was even better. I got to sit there and have
an adult
some
beverage.
Fluids. No, I didn't because it was really hot. And
it
I didn't
want
to be drunk up because I figured my neighbor would drive me over with a bulldozer. But he got to work out there, man. He was knocking down trees, driving into stuff, running over turtles, killing snakes.
Wow.
And I just kind of sat there and cheered him on like, yeah. And then I got a free camper.
That's great. That's great. I pretty much spent the weekend itching. That's
me
what
too.
I did.
I got poison ivy too.
And I got poison oak. And I got poison oak last Thursday. And I don't think I've actually had it since I was a teenager. And it has not changed, but I gave it to myself. I mean, I literally went and pulled up some weeds without even thinking about it because I hadn't seen poison oak since I was young.
And you without gloves and then you scratched your nose and your butt.
Oh, yeah, but pretty much.
Now it's all over your body.
No, it's not everywhere.
We know all the parts you
like to grab. It's not everywhere,
but
I will say my butt itches a lot. So we'll leave it at that.
Apparently, I don't want to be at Ken's house when he's mowing because he does that naked.
but anyway, let's kick off the news right now. I did mention in the teaser coming up that in the interest of the show that I had a story that had to do with something about that a famous liberal once said. And that famous liberal was Robert Kennedy, who was one of his famous quotes are, there are those that look at things the way they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not.
That's a pretty good quote.
But Phil sent me a story this past week that made me say, for the love of God, why?
For the love of God.
Why?
Oh, hell no. Was it Sharknado 3
story?
Was it
Sharknado 3
story? I did send him a Sharknado 3 story. Go ahead.
Are you making facial...
I am. If this is going to be our last time on YouTube...
Yes.
I totally want to ham it up.
Well, you want to talk about that. Now that you just said that, do you want to explain that, Phil?
No, I'm making funny.
You said if it's our last thing on time on YouTube.
Well, yeah, since all you guys went out and watched, and I mean literally two of you, or
well,
whatever.
It's probably
five.
About 8 or 10, and three of them or four of them are in the room.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to punt the video for the time. We're going to put up other videos, but we're not going to put the show up.
Right. Apparently, it's just not.
Right
for some reason, people aren't visiting the show
or you
on
hate
YouTube.
Us.
Right, whatever. Or
we have faces for radio.
And I think that's probably a good part of that. But let me pick up with the story where there. That I was started a Dubai-based digital designer by the name of Joe John Mueller has created a series of helmet designs that you have to go to the post. This week's post on ntnradio.com. Take a look at the post. I got a picture up there that it makes it appear that you are wearing no helmet at all.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, before you assume this is some like clear see-through type helmet, it is instead, I think, far dumber than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, go on, and that, you okay. go into it, and then I want to talk. I want to talk about 5 years ago.
Okay, it's called the Tromf Le Seal, and it's a series of helmets with graphics that look like different people with shaved heads,
which is kind of why I like
the helmet appears to mimic a bald head.
I wonder how many times that'd get Phil pulled over.
I don't know, but.
But it got ears on the side.
On some of them. You got to take a picture.
You can order them with or without ears. Like, now, I wanted to order the Van Gogh, just the ear on one side.
I don't know about overseas, but here in the U.S., people pay outrageous sums of money to hang on to their hair as long as possible. Literally, in the U.S., billions are spent on, like, hair transplants, drugs. So, of course, someone with a
Rogaine.
Yeah, that would be, I guess, a drug, right? So, of course, someone with a full head of hair
can look bald.
Yeah, that's like a bald wig.
You look at it this way. Now you know what you're going to look like 10 years from now.
I don't even think so.
Or this morning.
Yeah, because the helmet can't make... Everybody's bald head is a different shape. Anyways... It's probably makes some sense for a product in some bizarro world, which I think is actually.
Might live in a helmet law state. You can ride around pretending you don't have a helmet on.
You're pretending, but you are wearing a helmet. So
it's all right.
Pretending.
But what caught my
William Shatner? Did he not just pretend he was wearing a helmet through about five states?
Or maybe he did have one of these helmets on, but with the hair.
Hey, so no, because he had a hat. So here's what caught my attention about these when I first saw it.
Uh-huh.
It's like 5 years ago. Right. We did a story, and I think it was maybe me that brought it to the show. Okay. It could have been you.
Okay.
But it was about these helmets that were designed to be like skin so that if you hit, it had the outside, it had the hard protection inside, but then it had like gel, and then it had
Remember those? Yes,
and then
I do.
It had like a little skin off them.
Right.
So at first I thought this was those,
right.
But with like rubber ears and a couple other things. And then I saw this is just a helmet that's been... you know, wrapped or whatever, but yeah,
except for the ears. I mean, it looks like the ears actually are 3D. There are four variations of the helmet.
You can get earrings.
You can take get earrings.
I just want to put like the scar I have in the back of my head.
You gotta
don't care. Dirk is like, I'm on my phone. Screw you all.
He's researching diesel problems.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
2500 HD,
2004. Go to the post for this week, and you'll see the picture, which shows the four different variations on there. And by the way, they even have a bicycle variant that has shaved brunette hair, and there's a vintage version.
How do you know it's brunette if it's shaved?
Because it's armpit hair.
You can tell.
Because it's a woman, not a bike.
You can tell Phil's not a blonde, okay?
I'm not?
No, he's not.
He's shiny.
You can tell when Phil is not as cleanly shaved, which he is sometimes not as cleanly shaved. This you can tell he's not blonde. And there's a vintage version with attached goggles that just sort of like make it look like you're someone from Mad Max with the goggles on the.
I had seen the one with the ears several years ago. Somebody put it up. I thought it was a joke until I saw what you posted up, and it turns out somebody's actually selling these.
Someone's actually doing that. They're going to. They're actually not for sale yet.
So maybe because the
I guess this guy thinks that, you know, maybe overly hairy people will pay top dollar to look like they're bald.
They might. I kind of doubt it, but they might.
I shave my head for like $14 a month. People go out and pay people like $100 to shave their head.
Yeah.
I should get into that business. Screw radio.
But this is no different than the Predator helmets and the Captain America helmets and the Gladiator helmets and all those other ones.
It goes further than just whether it's got ears or not ears or goggles on the head in there. These are custom-made helmets, so you can have whatever potential look that you could dream of, including you can add birthmarks,
scars,
and perhaps even a tattoo. So, who wouldn't want... I mean, think about this. Who would not want to look this stupid?
It sounds like a genius.
Everybody's
it's like, I'm going to look stupid. I'm all in.
Feel when you said that.
But there are people that will buy that because, like P.T. Barnum said, there's a full bone every minute, and this guy seems fully prepared to take advantage of them.
Stupid is trendy. That might be my new shirt.
Stupid is trendy. Yeah, because I do remember when the Roman gladiator helmets came out, they were big for a while. People wanted them, and I didn't get that.
Well, same with the Predator helmets. And the Predator helmets. Out there.
You know,
well.
I saw a guy.
Captain America.
Oh, no, it was Rob. Remember Rob? Double-tailed Designs.
Yes.
He had made that one helmet that looked like a Marine Corps hat, like the, you know, like the dress blues hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Listen, you know, trendy.
Trendy's unique. I don't know if it's going to be a big seller, but there are people that will do that because, like I said, and the helmets with the mohawks on them and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
There are people that will buy things like that. I don't understand it, you know, and I guess.
You can buy the suction cup ponytail to put on the back of a regular helmet now.
Or the mohawks.
Well, anyways, we're going to talk, when we come back on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about test rides.
Apparently we're taking a break, Durka.
Yes, we are, because we're coming up on about 22 minutes into the show.
No, we're only on 11 minutes.
Oh. Well, then stop that, Durka.
Durka, stop the break. Cut the music! That's how you say it. You don't say stop the break.
I was just testing all of you. Just testing. Just testing.
Dirk is like on his phone, like, break, bro.
Just testing.
My alarm on my iPhone didn't go off while I was using Periscope.
12
minutes. What the hell?
12 minutes into the show, it's a good time.
If this had been an actual emergency, Ken would have told us so.
That's right. Exactly. Thank you, Warren. That was very good. I like that. All right. Well, I'm going to go on to my next story then. All right. So I got, 10 minutes left?
Yeah, about that.
Maybe. Maybe not. I could go to a break at any time.
So keep your finger on the board, Durka.
That's right. See, there you go. See, look. All right. So here in the U.S., if you want to take a test ride at a motorcycle dealer, and I'm sure Warren's done quite a few of those.
Several.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. God, it's been so many years since I have.
It's been a while since I've done it.
Generally, if you go to a dealer and do that, they take a photocopy of your license, right?
Yes.
Or some other identifying information. But apparently in other places other than the U.S., sometimes they just hand you the keys.
I actually had that happen with a pickup truck one time. I had one of those four-wheel steering pickup trucks for a while, the quadra steers. And, like, I showed up, and I was, like, looking at it. I had cool fenders, and I'm going to the salesman. I was like, yeah. He's like, if you get in that thing, it'll turn into three spots later. So I was like, really? He's like, yeah. He throws me the keys. He's like, take it for a test drive. I hopped in it and left. And then he sat there.
About
a half hour when I showed up, he goes, I was a little worried. I said, about what? He goes, I wasn't sure if you were coming back. I didn't get your ID. I didn't even ask you if you had a license. Yeah. I was like, I don't. No, I lied to
him. Well, it's pretty commonplace. I mean, that they're going to take some sort of identifying information. Certainly in a motorcycle, they're going to make sure you have the endorsement that you need in the state in, generally.
Yep.
But they're going to want to copy your license. Obviously, they don't want you to run off it. But that's not true everywhere. For example, a motorcycle dealer in Chile has had 34 motorcycles never return from test rides over a 5-year period. Okay.
All right. Time out.
Might have got by the first one.
Right,
might have got by the second one. But after that.
By five?
Oh, you guys.
By five, you need a policy.
You don't even know
change.
Where this story's going.
Drugs?
No, well, potentially.
Are you on drugs?
So Chile, like I said, 34 motorcycles over a 5-year period. And what was common in every one of those instances that no identification was required? Well, you know. They don't know who the hell I am.
Salesman reselling?
Well, just bear with me. You're not supposed to try and predict the stories, Phil.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that, I just gave you the 34 in 5 years in Chile was a minor theft compared to a dealer in Turkey that has lost nearly three times that number in only 3 years. Tucson Motorbikes has had 91 motorcycles never returned from test rides.
That's on purpose.
And they've never required identification.
That's on purpose.
Or the roads there are hell. Wait, that's in Turkey?
Yes.
You know, they could have, like, fallen off a cliff or gotten run over. I've seen videos.
Fallen into a pothole.
Have you ever been to Turkey?
No.
Actually,
okay, it's actually...
I'm scared to go to a country I want to eat.
It's actually,
you got me on that. Just for him to say that.
I've been to Turkey. Anyway, and it's not all countryside.
I've been to the neighbor Gravy. Gravy's solid.
Butterball?
Their cities are actually pretty
I do want to go to Turkey, because that's where Plebs is filmed.
Yeah, that's not food, Phil. Just, you know, just
Plebs
isn't that.
Film?
No. Turkey.
It's food for the soul.
He just thinks a country that's named after a food product is worth it visiting, right, Phil?
Yeah.
Pretty much. You should go to Hamburg, Germany, too.
Been there.
Okay. So one might ask, where is the story going? Well, apparently,
we have several
apparently
times.
Not back to the dealer.
That's right. It's not back to the dealer. Actually, it's going straight to prison. You see, the insurance company that insures the dealer got tired of paying out tens of thousands of dollars, so they decided they were going to investigate. They tracked 37 motorcyclists taking test rides over a five-month period. Of those 37, 28 of them did actually return to the dealer. The other nine all went to the same location, a train depot about 15 miles from the dealer. Then, with the aid of the local police authorities, they tracked each of the test riders to a meeting spot where cash was exchanged with...
the dealer.
With the general manager of the dealer.
Wow.
Sokshan Tiblina, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing his name right, but I don't really care because you're a thief. Later investigations found that Tiblina was scheduling the test rides to coincide with shipments of certain motorcycles to the dealership.
That's not a bad business plan. Good little side business. It needs a little more variety in meeting places.
Yeah, yeah. Tiblina and seven associates were charged with a variety of charges. Five have already taken up residence in prison, with the least sentence being 4 years. That was the minimum sentence that anybody got was 4 years.
4 years in a Turkish prison.
Yeah, right.
Something doesn't sound
right. What was that movie? Midnight Express? Is that what it was?
That's what I was thinking of.
That's right. not the movie I was thinking about. I was thinking about the one with the chicks. What was that called? Oh, now I gotta look it up.
That was on the Playboy channel.
No. It was one of those like 80s B movies.
Spice channel.
With, you know, like sexploitation kind of movies. I'll figure it out. I think it was Chained.
Chained Fury? Unchained Fury?
Okay, Midnight Express actually was about a Turkish prison.
Yes.
So we kind of figured it was go with the story. But anyways, Tiblina, the general manager, is doing that. He received the harshest sentence, which was 27 years as the ringleader. 27 years
in the
Turkish prison.
He's
going to
be a ringleader in the prison,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you're not kidding. Sphincter ring. They also seized his home, four personal motorcycles, and a 30-foot sailboat, all believed to be purchased from the proceeds of the motorcycle thefts. As far as where the motorcycles went from the train depot, they actually traveled about 120 miles to the town of Konya, where they were completely disassembled and parted out, producing about a 250% yield over the retail price of the motorcycles.
It was prison.
Which is why they waited for certain motorcycles. They wanted
to get the ones that had the most part.
Like I said, it wasn't a bad business deal.
No, it's not.
Just had some details.
He needed to spread it out across multiple dealerships.
If you get caught, you're not a hero. I just want to say that.
Yeah, that's okay, true. That's true.
Dirk, don't do this at your dealership.
It was prison heat in 1993.
None of the crew members who actually were disassembling the bikes in Konya have been arrested because they all fled when the word came out about the busts of the other eight. And at least three have been identified and are actively being pursued.
So they probably went to Syria.
So why did it take 91 motorcycles being stolen before the insurance company decided to finally
investigate? Well, I wonder how many of them were stolen before under the insurance company's eyes so they could get all the evidence. Probably 10 or more.
Well, I mean, after it got to the point of, well, I guess how many? What do we say? There was 34. They tracked 37, and 28 returned, right? So prior to that, they'd already lost 60 and change motorcycles.
That's a lot.
Maybe almost 70 motorcycles.
You think the owner would notice it?
Yeah, but how much does that insurance company, why do they let it get to the point where in a period of well less than three years, they had lost 60-some motorcycles?
And then lost 37 more when they were watching it.
Well, 28 more.
Well, because
obviously, 28 return. That was only
because obviously the general manager was cooking things too. He was making it look like
the claims were going to the insurance company. So why would the insurance company be stupid enough to wait until almost 70 motorcycles were stolen before they investigated?
Maybe they thought they were in the Polish part of Turkey. I don't know.
The Polish part of Turkey.
Now, did they have the same thing about what happened in Chile? You gonna get that after the break?
They didn't say anything about the ones in Chile. I mean,
wow,
if, you know,
two countries named after good food, Chile and Turkey,
in the same story.
Or Turkey, Chile,
right? Or Turkey? Oh wait, hey, whoa! You can't make chili with turkey. Come on, now.
They do.
It's actually pretty good.
That's a pretty good meal of a story right there.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're gonna take a break, and we come back. I actually got a story I'm going to talk about that. It's a follow-up to the Victory Motorcycles at Isle of Man story. So we're going to do that on the other side of this break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. This is the Doghouse. Goodbye. Folks, welcome back to the Doghouse. As Phil sort of mentioned in the prior segment in there, that this is going to be our last YouTube video of the actual Doghouse show because nobody cares.
You guys
to watch
hate
it.
Us. We get
because
it.
Because this is your way of telling us that we really have faces that are built for radio. So we're going to stick with doing that. The podcast is not going anywhere, but we are going to save the video stuff for YouTube. To other people that are
better,
more attractive than us.
Kim Kardashian.
Right. You know, unless there's this huge outcry. If somebody
huge, that could be 10 people.
Yeah, 10 people will be good enough.
I was going to say, if somehow we got, I don't know, maybe 1,000 views this week, we might reconsider. But, you know, in lieu of that, I think probably this is going to be it. So,
yeah, when one of the
we
biggest-
hope you enjoyed it. Thank you. We want to thank everybody for your views, and that means all six of you.
I would thank you all personally, but Ken told me not to.
Well, you could. Right. Four of us are in the room.
Right, that's right. So anyway, all right, so let me pick up where I mentioned that I had done a story about Victory. It's kind of an ongoing story because it was a story originally about Brammo and their involvement in racing. That goes back a couple years ago.
Right.
In the TT, and in fact, also at the Pikes Peak Hill Climb, and then over in Isle of Man, in the Isle of Man
TT.
Yeah, it's called something else, but whatever. It's something, the Electric TT, maybe.
Electric TT.
Whatever.
The Electric Division.
Well, it's actually got a name. They actually name that division and that part of the race.
Sparky.
Whatever. And then Victory. A subsidiary of Polaris bought, because they're smarter than certain other companies that shall remain nameless, that Warren likes to ride. but Polaris bought that for Victory. They bought Brammo a present, which was, I'm sorry, they bought Victory a present, which was Brammo. And in a matter of few months.
Okay, move along.
Matter of a few months, that ended up being a bike for the Isle of Man TT, and we talked about that and how brilliant it was that they bought that. Phil, am I boring you?
you're going around in like a traffic circle right now.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll
move along. Okay, so you guys know what it takes to actually build an Isle of Man bike?
Probably money. Some Irish guys.
No, actually, you don't need pints. A single. You don't need a single Irish guy. It helps.
A lot of money
required.
A lot of money.
Money.
Yeah,
money.
It takes a lot. It takes a lot of money.
And warm pints.
And I know that Victory knows what it takes because they were smart enough to actually buy a company to help put that together. And they are probably right now a lot more ticked off than your average bike owner, since their Isle of Man electric bike, which actually came in like third, and I think first in its class.
Okay. I think as a team they got first. I don't know about the individual bikes. They might have done something.
Yeah, it's farther down the story. And but the bike was at the time I did the story, and I'll actually have an update for that at the end of it. The bike was just gone. It just disappeared.
We're gonna have an update to the update.
I don't mean gone like, you know, blowed up, sir.
Blowed up, sir.
I mean gone like now you see it, now you don't. right?
Stealth mode.
And it didn't disappear over at the Isle of Man. It didn't disappear while being shipped back to, you know,
in a shipping
head.
Container.
All the places,
you think, right?
All the places where you
Ireland. Remember that dude who rode his bike like across Europe and then it got stolen in Ireland?
Yes.
Yeah, and that happened a couple times.
No. It actually made it all the way back to the United States.
Back to
Bramo's headquarters, which, if you know the hierarchy again, it's Polaris, Victory, Bramo. I know Phil's falling asleep, but I was trying to understand that. But at Bramo's headquarters, because it came up at dinner tonight, this conversation. But anyway, it was stolen right there from their headquarters.
Right off the showroom floor?
I'm sorry, not showroom floor. It was actually from the headquarters, from the lobby of the headquarters.
Well, it's close enough. That is almost a showroom.
I guess.
Was it the general manager?
and then the name.
Is it in Turkey on a train?
It wasn't on a test ride, I can tell you.
Did anybody eat chili?
Nobody ate chili.
Okay.
It's the Isle of Man TT0. That's the name of the race.
Yes, the Isle of Man TT0.
Okay. And it was, like I said, I mentioned it was at Bramo headquarters, which is in Talent, Oregon. And if I wonder if Victory runs the office of the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. And I say that, which is an American inside joke, but for overseas fans or anyone who's had their head in the sand, that's the department of the U.S. government that just got hacked of 30 years of personnel records, including security clearance applications.
At the last count, over 21 million citizens.
Right. And so apparently the security at Bramo, I was thinking, was probably designed by the OMB, wouldn't you say, probably?
No, they couldn't be that bad. Even though they got bikes stolen, they couldn't be that bad.
Yeah, but you didn't just get any bike stolen.
You got their crown jewel.
You got their crown jewel, and not only that, you got it right out of their headquarters building.
The Pink Panther did it
get third in the Zero TT. And like I mentioned in an earlier story, it was ridden by Lee Johnson, and it disappeared last Thursday evening. They didn't give the actual time on there, but they have reviewed the security footage, and
there was a little glitch, and then the bike was gone.
Yeah.
It's the Matrix.
Victory says the Isle of Man TT electric prototype was on display with its complete race body of work, which is shown as in this week's post. So if you want to see what it looks like, actually go to this week's post. They were also saying at that time they were concerned that it might have been removed or overpainted to mask its origin. And again, our update will tell you about that. Now, here's the thing that really made me... I read this. I thought this was just funniest thing I've ever read, and hopefully you guys see this. There was a $1,000 reward for leading to the information.
For what, a $250 million bike? Yeah, it's like... it wasn't even like, we'll give you a Bramo if you find our race setup bike, or we'll give you a Victory or an Indian.
Yeah, they can give one of their mid-class bikes for $4,000.
Right, you know, it was like, yeah, we're going to give you a grand because we don't really want the thing back.
I gotta read the actual quote out of the press release. It said in there, $1,000 reward for information leading to the recovery of this historically significant motorcycle. So, $1,000, okay. I'm going to probably guess that Victory probably had over $1 million invested in that bike between R&D and the actual production, and plus, I'm sure.
Buying the company.
Probably every bit of it.
Probably way more than that. And you really think they couldn't cough up more than $1,000?
Yeah. There probably wasn't anything left.
Yeah, that could be. Because the sales of the Bramo is just so good.
Yeah.
That's what it was. They're like, no chance the guy's going to hack it on the street for more than a grand. So, maybe I'll bring it back. No question. Did it say after the $1,000, no questions asked?
I don't. I mean, for $1,000, you shouldn't have a right to ask any questions for $1,000. That's nothing. Victory says, quote, the teams from Victory and Bramo were gutted that the thieves made off with this important piece of motorcycle.
But not gutted.
They weren't hurt enough to call
and off. And actually, the name of the Bramo race team is actually the Short Arms team, because apparently their arms don't reach down to the bottom of their pockets.
No, clearly not. And so they put out a call and said that they would want a diligence and assistance of the motorcycle enthusiasts across the country to help him locate this bike. However, we will not invest more than $1,000 in it. We want it back bad, but not
That bad.
Not $1,001.
I'd have called up the tip line and been like, how about $1,250? I didn't know.
When I first came across this story, I immediately thought, what came to my mind immediately, Warren?
I need $1,000.
No, what came to my mind immediately
buying a Brahmo bike at a local dealer, wrap it to look like that to make $1,000?
No, immediately. What did I say? You guys, if you've been following the stories I've done on this Victory motorcycle and the purchase of Brahmo, my first thought was Harley Davidson stole the motorcycle.
Oh, no, you can't say that. You're starting a bad rumor.
Look. They actually think they have the guy. They caught a guy. Okay, because I'm going to give you an update in the story right now, and I'm telling you,
Milwaukee?
I think he's got ties to Harley Davidson. I don't think there's any question about that.
He better not be from Milwaukee.
Harley Davidson heard the news stories I did. Why I said that they are all the problems Harley Davidson's having with the Livewire project and the cost and everything. What a great way to save on cost! Just
it is cost cutting.
Deal the technology.
Just take somebody else's stuff.
So here's the update.
Works for Apple.
Here's the update. If I can hang on to the paper.
I respect that.
The Victory Electric race bike has been returned to Brahmo headquarters after police tracked the machine down to a local individual, because you know. If you're going to steal.
They track team down.
Never leave the city stole the bike in. That makes
sure
sense.
It had nothing to do with the
reward. He forgot to pull out the extension cord. That's how they got him.
The bike was recovered with damaged bodywork and a rear wheel removed.
He dropped it.
A rear wheel removed, but largely complete, and it was found at a residence. The main suspect, who has a long history of run-ins with law enforcement, and apparently for more than $1,000, will sell off his services to Harley Davidson. Told police that's the problem. The problem was Brahmo put out Victory or all those guys.
He turned himself in for $1,000.
They put out $1,000 reward, and apparently theft pays much better. He actually admitted to police he intended to disassemble the bike and sell the parts. Wait a minute. Was it a test ride? Maybe?
what a smart person would have done. Take notes, people. If you happen to find yourself in a situation where, say, a one-of-a-kind race bike ends up
in your living room.
Somehow, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
You take it apart, you take video and take pictures of everything. Then you call them up and you say, hey, I walked into my living room and there was this bunch of pieces and I think it might be your missing bike. Get the grand. Put new carpet in because the oil obviously.
I was going to say, Grant wouldn't even cover the carpeting.
But whatever.
But
then take those photos
oil.
Of that electric motorcycle, which Harley has been trying to do. Call up Harley Davidson and say, hey, I happen to have all these photos that might help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Start maybe an art museum exhibit.
I don't think Harley had anything to do with this. There's no offshore account that you can link him to.
I don't know about that.
Although the one guy, when you look at his picture, he kind of does look like Walter Davidson. In his picture, I mean,
yeah, I'm not disagreeing.
Could be an illegitimate great-grandson trying to get in on the money.
Even though he admitted to the police that he intended to disassemble the bike and sell the parts, he's not actually admitting breaking into Brahmo's headquarters where it was.
Well, that's display. Illegal.
Well, possession of property, actually, not breaking and entering.
Yeah, possession of stolen property. No current or former Brahmo employees have been implicated in the case. But yet Harley Davidson remains mysteriously silent about the whole thing.
The bike being stolen.
I'm not even gonna.
So here's my question: is how did he get it out of the? This would be a good doghouse interview. Not that we condone stealing anybody's motorcycles.
Be interesting.
But how did you get it out of the floor?
Just drove it out.
Well, yeah.
So there's no security there?
Well, apparently, like I said, I told you, it was designed by the Office of Management and Budget.
It is an electric motorcycle, so it's quiet. As long as you put enough donuts in front of the guard so
it's
you
quiet.
Can go to
so
sleep.
So you just open up the double doors in the front of their headquarters building whenever you want. Doesn't set off
just
alarms.
Just walk in. I mean,
right
you know, you come into the NDN radio studios here and you got to go through four checkpoints.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And we don't have nothing of value. Right. I mean, there you got, apparently nothing. Well, there you got at least $1,000 worth of equipment.
Yeah, we got a lot more security than we warrant.
obviously we're more important.
Now I gotta say something about Victory. This story kind of triggered something. They have to be right now, of all the American motorcycles out there, Victory's got to be the most awesome manufacturer in American motorcycles right now, between running the ILTT, creating new, you know, electric bikes, buying Brammo, you know, running the Pikes Peak. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready to introduce some new a new line of bikes, you know, to replace their aging touring bikes. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really stepping up the game where Harley did Rushmore a couple of years, but that's really about it. Mm-hmm. And Indian is new, and they haven't really done anything other than the Scout for a couple of years now.
No, they've got, yeah, but they I mean, that's one of their companies, yeah. Indian, and they actually do have new motorcycles. They've got some new motorcycles coming out.
No.
Indian does.
Well, they're just all redos of what they already have.
They're integrating more modern technology. So, I mean, I think that an updated Indian backed by a company that actually can deliver is...
It might be something, but I think Victory is by far rushing ahead of everybody else in American motorcycles.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay. Well, from a technological standpoint, you're saying primarily, right? And an innovation standpoint.
Innovation.
I think that's probably true. Harley is very, you know, Harley's history has always been that they're not quick with innovation. When they came out with the V-Rod, it was like, oh my God.
Yeah, no one wanted, you know,
nobody wanted it, so we had to hire another company to actually build it. We hired Porsche to build a motor for us. But, you know, still, I think that you got to look at it from the standpoint that Polaris is smart. They are a smart company.
Polaris are smart.
Polaris are smart?
Is that what you said?
No, I said Polaris is smart.
I thought you said Polaris is smart.
I think you did.
No, I said Polaris is
you smart. You, like, personalized Polaris.
Right, rewind it, Durka, rewind
Durka!
It.
Durka!
Rewind it. Play
Polaris
it back.
Is smart.
Polaris is smart. And I'm going, well, is that they, like a land?
They sounds, would like be Polarians,
right?
You realize that Polaris...
You could say Polarians are
what's
smart.
What's the plural of Polaris?
Polarian?
No,
that'd be personalizing.
Yes.
People from Polaris would be Polarians.
Polarians?
Yeah.
I didn't ask where people of Polaris. I said, what's the plural of Polaris?
Polarises.
No, it's the same. It's Polaris.
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 No,
Polari.
It's not.
Polaris.
You that's can't put an I after everything that ends in an S.
Yes, you can. You can when Polari. It's an I. When it's I. Listen.
This is why
don't
we
you don't know your perfect tense in Latin?
We're much stupider.
In person.
When we're in person. So yeah, that's why we work on radio.
We're stupider.
Clearly.
I'm a dumber.
Real quick before we go to a break, I did want to mention that there was a very tragic motorcycle wreck in North Carolina off on the side of I-85 outside Greensboro. Thank you. There were members of the Richmond and Maryland chapters of the Black Eagle Riders Motorcycle Club who themselves are actually truckers. Most of them are actually spend their life on the road, and
UPS
they were on the side of the
rigs.
Road. And they got mowed over by a semi on the side of the road.
And it was a bad...
What are you shaking your head for?
Nothing. I will explain during the break. You know, one thing, and I said this to Ken before the show, because I asked him if this made his news, because I wanted to say something. We've all done it, and I guarantee everybody
we've
here
all done
has done
what?
It. We've all sat there, and a friend had a trouble or waiting up for riders and just pulled off to the shoulder.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And not gotten off the on-ramp or an exit ramp or anything like that. We've all done it. But, man, is it dangerous. If you see the pictures
dangerous.
Of that, I mean, one guy died instantly. Mm-hmm. Some of the bikes looked like they went through
They're
nothing.
Right.
And these aren't little bikes.
Yeah, these are
big Harleys and Indy and Honda Goldwings.
Yeah, right. I mean, and you know, you got to be careful because you never know what the numbskull with more wheels or even it could have been a bike that hit him. But you know, a trailer truck. I mean, party's over.
They say
the guy fell asleep at the wheel and just drifted two lanes and ran down.
And unfortunately, that happens.
And unfortunately, right.
And the thing is, it's not safe to pull your car off on the shoulder of an interstate in the U.S. It's 10 times more dangerous to do that in your motorcycle. These guys, apparently one of them had a mechanical problem, and that's why they
I read one of them got a flat tire.
Right.
Or something.
Something was wrong.
Right.
And they pulled over. Thought he was
The message from this, that if anybody takes from this, is that if at all possible, get off the highway.
Yeah. I've got to second that, but I've also broken that just very recently on our trip down to the beach and then back up through the mountains. It was raining so bad that I couldn't see well enough and be comfortable enough to try to make it to the exit. So we stopped at an overpass on the side of the road. And it was very scary. I mean, we got our stuff and got up on the side,
and tried
to get away from the bike.
I've done that a number of occasions, got under an overpass and to get out of the rain because it was raining so hard. And you're right. You don't want to be anywhere near your bike after that. Because these trucks come screaming by, right? You know, they almost suck you right off the side of the road.
It was not a bit fun.
You know, it's something we've all done, and you never think of how dangerous it is until you read a story and you see those pictures.
Well, that's it. So our thoughts, everyone in the show's thoughts, goes out to the families of these Richmond and Maryland Black Eagle riders. We're going to head out to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about racing at Millville, or Spring Creek, which is in Millville. Motocross, and then we're also going to talk about World Superbike at Laguna Seca.
With the Moto America Series.
With the Moto America Series, and also the tragic deaths that occurred at the Moto America Series race. And we will do that on the other side of this break. So don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. Finger painting on the screen?
I was finger painting on the screen. I was giving them the Kembe Mutombo. No, no, no.
The no, 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 no.
No, no, no.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no. So I kind of got yelled at during the break, so I had to bring this up. I was kind of smirking a little bit at the beginning of Ken's story, but it had nothing to do with the last story. Well, it was not about that.
I'm glad.
It was Durka was cutting the cheese or the lamb or whatever they cut over in Pakistan where he's from or Arabia or whatever.
Over in Ireland, he cut the haggis.
We wear headphones, and it's the noise is amplified in. Everybody's talking is amplified in, and all I hear is... I was like, whoa.
Wait a minute.
I look over, and Durka got this look like...
Wait a minute. Have we mic'd Durka's ass?
No, that's how loud it was.
That's impressive.
Like, I know you guys are thinking that's green screen behind Ken, but it's more like
green cloud.
I was like, oh, this is going to be bad.
So from now on, he'll be called Farka.
Yeah, and he went down and wiped during the break. That's when I told the rest of the guys, but it wasn't about that. If you're watching the video, you saw me smirk.
Tag that chair.
Tag the chair?
Yeah, so we know not to sit in it.
Oh, yeah, valid point. I'm just going to burn it after the show. Okay. Screw that, man. But that was, woo! So that's what that was all about. It wasn't me being a jerk. It was me laughing. Because as Pamela Anderson once said,
you are allowed
farting's
to say,
funny.
You are allowed to say
he still
dick.
Likes fart jokes.
You can say dick.
I know, I could have.
It's not about
jerk.
You being a dick.
But I just want to say
Durka
farting's
was
funny.
Durka was being a dick.
Farting is funny.
Farting.
Pam Anderson said that.
You know, for our last opportunity to be on video, he should have farted in front of a camera.
He should have got up and like let it rip into the mic.
Right. That would have been a million views right there.
You know, I kind of want to, but now that I've embarrassed him, I kind of want to put his face on the screen.
Go ahead. Go ahead, do it. He should. He went out of his hands.
He went to black.
He went to black?
Yeah, Durka is. Went to black.
That's true. Well, no one would actually know what he looks like.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can find pictures that we can put up of him.
But speaking of mud pies, no, I don't know. I was trying to do that. I was going to say Supercross, but Motocross was in Spring Creek. Yes, no. Why are you looking
it
at
was.
Me?
It was.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out what that accent was supposed to be.
Well, you know, all the announcers on Motocross have funny accents, so I was trying to have a funny accent, too.
Well, okay, don't.
It didn't work. Okay, I won't do that no more.
Okay.
250s, I was expecting, because I believe that was the Martin Brothers' home track.
It is?
You know, you would That's expect correct. That the Martin Brothers
Their parents'
be one
house
and two.
Is 100 feet from the track.
Yeah.
Yes.
You would think
pointed
one
out multiple times.
It is actually, it's more than their home track.
Their track.
It's like their track.
Yeah. Right. And Cooper Webb came up and just destroyed his whole weekend for him.
I thought for sure we were going to get the...
Martin Super 1-2.
No, I thought, before the race started, yes, but as soon as the race started, I thought for sure in race one we were going to get the Supercross final, Muskin versus Webb. And then Muskin just stubbed it into a mud hole and couldn't get the bike out.
I honestly said I really did expect that Jeremy Martin was going to double Or at least a 1-2.
Well, before the race started, I would have agreed with you. But as soon as the race started, you can see it. Webb was just, and Musquin dominated.
Fire. They were in the first race.
But
on the first race, both of them were hot until Musquin stuffed it into the mud hole and couldn't get the bike out.
That was funny. I have to admit.
His entire front wheel was nothing front wheel but was a buried. Big mud pie.
Yes. Well,
that's right. A mud puddle. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he had no business being on that side of the track. That's
well,
the one of
you know, somebody had to ride over there.
Yeah, he did. But he did do it again, I can tell you that.
But anyways, so Cooper Webb took the weekend.
Yep.
By getting a 1-2. Jeremy Martin did win the second race, which was good for him. Right. But I think everybody was a little shocked by Cooper Webb going out.
I think so, because Cooper Webb's was his first race back or second race back?
Second race. He was in last.
Was he?
Second race back.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, second race back.
That was a while ago now.
Yeah.
And that was his first win of the season. Which is good for him.
Because he spent most of it
on the DL,
right.
But, you know, Joe Savacci had a good weekend, so did Zach Osborne. Musquin had the fourth overall, but he had that eighth place in the first race.
Yeah,
it's hard to say you had a good weekend.
That mud hole just tore him up.
Yep.
You know,
I think he dropped back to 12th or 13th.
I believe, 12th.
Because of that one hole. Yeah.
You know, a guy that I thought was going to do better outside that really hasn't been showing anything is McElroth. I mean, he was like 10th or 11th in the first race and like 6th or 7th in the second.
I think there's a lot. Correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, I think he's a California rider.
Yeah,
and I think that these guys, as they move,
they can't handle the East.
It's just the muddy, sloppy tracks of the East and the Midwest. The California guys don't do as good. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why I think that Jeremy Martin was such a favorite for that track.
Well, there's two things in the first race that really popped out beyond the mud hole was that Jeremy Martin can ride with or without a clutch.
Yep, which was pretty impressive.
And that Musquin is more injured than what people are saying because even the announcers are pointing out that he kept letting go of the handlebar with his wrist, the hand with the bad wrist.
Mm-hmm.
So
Can't imagine trying to pull his bike out of that mud hole. Could not have made it worse.
Yeah.
Because that was, you know. If you hadn't seen it, go on YouTube. I'm sure you find a highlight of Musquin digging out.
Yeah, you can't see
out.
You literally cannot see his front wheel.
It's gone.
Yeah.
That's mud.
That's some serious mud. Believe
me. That's like Daytona sometimes get.
Yeah.
And then in the 450s, Ryan Dungey said, well, let me show you how it's done on the home track.
Yeah.
Ryan Dungey just acted like he owned the place.
Yeah.
Like he was a Martin.
Yeah.
But he's not because
he must be adopted.
He might be. Might be. And then Bam Bam, Ken's favorite rider, mm-hmm. Barcia, pulled a double seconds.
Yeah, he got the whole mm-hmm. shot on both races.
Yeah.
Took the lead at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm trying
to
figure out.
The short hair on him worked, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what it is because this is not.
Cut the hair.
This is the Barcia that people expected when he came out of the 250s, but it's been very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
And yet.
It was the hair.
Maybe.
You can't ride with all that stuff flopping and woozing and whopping and woozing.
We'll see.
Don't fit under the helmet.
We'll see.
Them with all sideways.
But Phil, when he first came into the 450s, he didn't have the real long hair like that.
But he didn't have the beard.
I don't know. That's true.
Puberty
he didn't have
and
the
a
beard.
Haircut. That works.
Okay.
Puberty and a haircut.
Well, the only real racing in the 450s is Roczen trying to get himself up because.
Yeah.
You know, Dungey took the lead and never looked back in both races, but Roczen was racing hard and just wasn't able to get up
there. No, couldn't. I don't think there was anybody that could touch Dungey.
Not on that track.
This weekend on that track. No. He owned it. There was really not much of a battle.
He defended the home turf.
Yeah.
Defended the home turf.
He absolutely did defend the home turf. And you're right. And he had he had the race that the Martin brothers should have had. And he had two of them.
Yeah.
So.
So, switching gears a little bit, going over to Moto America, which was at Laguna Seca with World Superbike. Super Sport JD Beach, he won because they only had the one race.
Right.
He won, which you know, he that was, I think that's his kind of track. You know, he's sliding a little loose, mm-hmm. stuff like that. It'd be hard to beat. But then in the Superbike / Superstock 1000 race, mm-hmm. Race 2, they had a horrific crash.
Absolutely horrible.
Right at the start.
Right. Yeah, literally right at the start. I by the way, in the information that I got on the wreck. I didn't. I one person instituted the wreck, and I don't know what happened, but it was really weird because this all started off a straightaway.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I didn't get to see it on the live stream thing because it just wasn't working for me.
Right.
So I've gone back and watched videos, and a lot of people that were there posted their videos up.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how I feel about that sometimes, you know what I mean? Because of what you're watching. Bernat Martinez and Daniel Fernandez, but they call him something else. I don't remember what it is. Anyways, they both died as injuries resulting in that.
Yeah.
And from what I can see, it was like one guy lost it, slid, and then maybe they piled up or they hit it.
Well,
I mean, there were bikes flying in the air.
This all happened
on a straightaway.
On a straightaway at full throttle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when the bike goes off the course, one of the bikes, it flies like 15, 20 feet into the air, flipping and rolling over. I mean, it was a very, very high-speed accident. And the very violent tumbling of the riders, and unfortunately, two of them lost their life.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, I can't remember seeing a wreck like that that was that.
I don't know this, and this is pure speculation, so don't anybody, you know, quote me, but I got to believe it was a mechanical failure of some sort. Something broke in the steering or something, and took in one bike, and it took out the other guy.
Because that's about the only. They were on a straightaway,
and they're
shooting. And it wasn't even like they were on a straightaway where they were trying to like jam all up. Crash inside.
It was wide
of
open.
Right. The only it was either mechanical or, you know, two riders were full throttle and not seeing each other, and they came together, and it, you know.
Yeah,
it was it.
It was just.
And the bikes just tumbled. It was very tragic.
If it was mechanical, I don't think there's enough of it left that you ever piece it back together.
There wasn't much, but it depending upon what it was, sometimes you can tell by watching slow motion of the video. You can tell what
Daniel
happened.
Rivas is, but I've also seen his name as Daniel Rivas Fernandez, so I'm not sure how that all works out and stuff. But you know, I mean, that was just very sad. That's. Moto America in their first year has just been through a lot.
They have been.
And now this.
Yes.
And then, you know, I mean.
Right.
You know, it's a shame. Martinez was 35. Rivas was 27. Mm. Both out of Spain, coming over here and running. So thoughts and prayers go out to their families and the teams and stuff. In the racing that actually happened on. In race one, Hayes won, Bouvier second, Hayden third. Race two, Bouvier won, Hayden second, Hayes third. Hayden, I mean, we're talking tenths of a second. You know, I mean, it was the closest finish he's had to a Yamaha in a while, you know. And actually, Bouvier and Hayes are now tied for the points lead.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And you're right. We talked when we interviewed Roger Hayden. We talked about the fact that he had split the Yamahas. Remember?
Yes.
In that interview, and he's so close to getting that top step. He's just so close, and he just seems to miss out.
It's like
it's gotta be frustrating as hell.
I can't even imagine.
You know, I learned something about Roger Hayden this weekend. I was reading some stuff, and I learned something about him that I didn't know, that him and Josh Hayes actually broke in the league the same year.
Really?
Yeah, I would have guessed that Roger Hayden was a lot younger, wouldn't you?
I didn't realize Roger Hayden was that old.
Yeah.
I thought he was still 5 years younger. Well, I mean, he might have.
Well, you know, the problem is Roger Hayden's two older brothers are getting up there.
Yeah.
I mean, Nicky's what, 65? And
Nicky's got to be 70.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think he's his number plus one.
Right.
Well, speaking of a young guy, a Doghouse former guest and friend of the show, Jason Uribe.
He raced out there.
He raced out there this weekend.
Yes, he did.
I didn't check to see how he did.
I did.
They didn't talk to him.
I did, and he wasn't listed in the results.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't understand, so I have no idea.
Too, because I was
I thought it was just me.
He ran in the Bazaar Super Sport, Super Stock 1600.
They might not, because, I mean, that's like...
It's a couple steps down, but...
Yeah, but it's
still
kind of
Motor
like...
America.
It's, yeah, but it's kind of like the You're at the Track Anyway series. You know, like the little brothers, the guys running super bike.
We should also mention that Joe Roberts, he locked up the championship in the
Bazaars.
Not in the Bazaars, in the RC Cup, right?
No.
No, it was the Bazaars?
It was Bazaz. Joe Roberts runs the Bazaz. Okay. Superstock 600. The KTM RC Cup.
It already was
still,
last time. No, I think it was already. I think it was locked up last.
I can't think of the kid's name now. That's a shame. But then there was also World Superbike there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course we have our pool, which I will talk about this week because we didn't really talk about it last week.
Yes. I bet you there couldn't have been anyone that predicted these results.
No, and thank God nobody had them as defaults. I didn't put in either.
Good.
Because I'd have been bitter. Chaz Davies looked like he should be an American. And
yeah, people, you know what? I'm surprised, actually, somebody did not take, did not pick Chaz Davies. Because, number one, Chaz Davies probably has more experience on the track than anybody
else.
Because
he ran super.
He ran an AMA. He ran in the AMA.
You know, I wasn't thinking about that when I made
But you know
picks.
What? The only guy that had won that was out there in Superbikes that had actually won a race there was Sykes, which is why I picked him to double. I did see that, and it didn't work out so well for me, but it could have been worse.
It didn't work out bad. You gained some points on people's.
Right.
Well, I picked Sykes and Ray because I thought, you know, Ray is as hot as he's been, he was going to win one of the two races, and I picked Sykes for the same reason you did because I did read it. He'd won there before.
Twice.
You know, I wasn't really, I mean, Laguna Seca is, it's a short track, but it's a difficult track.
It's a very tough track to pass on, which I think that's probably what Jonathan Ray is thinking.
Yeah, I mean, the battle in race one between him and Sykes.
He couldn't get around
him. Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially, I mean, he was brave. I don't know what he was thinking when he was like, I'm going to cut in on him. Yeah, coming out of the corkscrew.
My first thought was that was he's in a position where you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah,
because he can walk home to the championship unless he does stupid things like that.
Just get points.
Yeah, but
I did read one article where he said I was over aggressive in the first race.
Yes,
trying to get around him.
He was, and he's right.
He was.
Yeah. But
and he probably got lectured.
Did make for some exciting.
He probably got an earful when he got back to the pits.
I was giving him an earful. Watch it.
That's a great way to toss out a championship.
Oh my God, that's also a great way to like end your season quick.
Yeah. But other than that, I thought I thought both races, other than the Sykes Ray, was actually boring.
Oh, I didn't think so at all. No, I mean, I thought some of the best racing between Sykes and Rea took place in that race.
Well, there was
some good racing going on just behind them with Torres and Torres and Guintoli. He doesn't count.
Yeah, Guintoli doesn't count.
Torres and Haslam, and Haslam trying to come up. But Torres had a strong weekend.
Haslam eating it.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, I mean, it was. I thought there was a lot of good racing. Unfortunately, none of it was for the lead.
No, and I really think Chaz Davies owes – he should at least buy dinner for Johnny Rea and Tom Sykes because it was their battling that let him
– Yeah, they let him – they'd go into the lap and he'd be up by like 0.3 and then he'd come out a second ahead because they'd be battling and fighting.
They weren't – nobody was chasing Chaz Davies in either one of those races.
No. Right.
They were battling between each other, which is a great thing when you have the lead. Have the two guys behind you battling.
It was almost like, it ain't like he's going to catch me. I got to worry about Sykes. And Sykes is like, I got to finish ahead of Rea.
Right.
And they only saw that battle. Or they didn't know Chaz was out there.
So did this have any effect on the pool at all?
They forgot he was there.
Very little.
That's what I kind of figured.
Kind of very little. You know, actually, I'll be honest with you because I've been a little bit internet-less because I live out there in dang old Winchestersonville. So I didn't do the official sort. So let me do that right now.
Okay.
This is
real time, folks.
This is real time.
You don't pay for this.
He's counting us down. I moved down a spot.
Did you really?
Yeah, I'm well, 1 point behind second place. I'm in third place.
And you had the third place. You got 40 points, right?
You're 32 points. I got two.
You got 32. Okay.
Two-thirds. So the guy who wasn't third, Richard, he's now in second. He pulled ahead of me. Other than that, not a lot.
The guy that did
changed.
Best in points this weekend was Sykes because he made up a few on Ray. Rhea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Richard gained some on Olaf, too, because Olaf didn't do his
I gained too. Points on Olaf.
You gained points. A lot of everybody gained points on Olaf because he was at 32 with me. Although Matt B, he had Haslam on the double, so, you know.
Ooh, he got slaughtered.
He got slaughtered. Anyways, Dirk is giving me the, I'm going to set off a roadside bomb.
We got time.
He dropped a dirty bomb in the studio, and he's about to do it again.
Did I pick up a position?
Nope.
Really?
Did I?
I'm actually surprised.
No.
No, you couldn't pick them.
Still suck. No, you suck.
Yeah, I made it more. I actually stretched my lead on you, by the way. Right?
He was stretching something else on you. All right, is it that time?
No, it's not. We got 30 seconds left.
Well, I got a phone call.
You got a phone call? Okay, well, that's more important so far.
No. It's not more important. That phone call can wait 20 seconds.
19. Hello. 18.
Hello.
This is a great end of the show.
That's a horrible end of the show.
All right. We should say goodbye, folks.
All right.
Goodbye, folks.
Bye, folks.